Hello, on Monday, December 6th, we've got an NFL Monday night game to talk about. So real quickly, NFL yesterday, 5 wins, 2 losses, went all 5 of the sides on the spread and lost both of the totals over under. Went 2-0 on college basketball and 2-2 on hockey, so it was another nice day. The props were even better. Again, I'm trying to figure out a way to do that efficiently for this podcast. I don't know it's going to happen. There was a lot of feedback, listeners anyway, on the special episode of Hockey Props, and we actually lost a little bit on that episode, so that wasn't exactly the best time to lose. I think we won 5 days in a row before that and every day since, but that's how it goes. So anyway, on to bigger and better things here. So for Monday Night Football, and I know that's obviously the biggest bet game of the week, or it should be, especially with these two teams, Buffalo and New England, playing each other for control of their division and really the AFC. So now the money is coming in on the Patriots, and pretty significantly. The money is coming on the under. Now there's other reasons, too, for the under the total going down, and that's because of the weather. The weather is a little sketchy for high-powered offense. The number, the total though, down is now down to 41. That's not exactly a high bar to reach for two teams that, yes, have good defenses, absolutely, but also can move the ball. These are two good teams, good offenses, good defenses. So there's going to be a little bit of contrarian play here, and logic involved with this, not just do the opposite. Although sometimes you start with the opposite of the stream. Don't be the sheep. Think about why it's that way. And so what we have here is, I don't want to get too bold with contrarian here. Again, it's based in fact, not just contrarian. But with the significant amount of money coming in on New England and the significant amount of momentum New England has, the Patriots are a hot team right now. They have everything going right. But yet, isn't this Buffalo's year? Wait, before you turn the podcast off, I'm not just saying, well, it's Buffalo's year, it's Buffalo's turn. No, in the NFL, and this is a pro and con for this argument, in the NFL, anything can happen at any given time. These teams are meant to be 8-8, or now 8-9 or 9-8, give or take a few games here and there. And, for the Patriots' run with Tom Brady, they were the exception to the rule. They were just good every friggin' year. The rest of the teams, you'd be in the NFC or AFC championship game. The next season, you're fighting for the number 1 through 3 draft pick, and then you flip-flop with the next year. It's just crazy. But that's how the league is meant to be, so that the fanship of each team cannot be utterly disappointed year in and year out. Unless, of course, maybe you're the Lions, and hey, nice win for them yesterday. That being said, these teams aren't far apart. I actually have this as an even game. I have it. I believe the game should be 43 to 45 points scored. So I'm taking the over 41. And that's just factual. It's not contrarian. It is a contrarian play, but it's just the facts that I have. Okay. I have this game even a pick 'em on neutral territory. But this is in Buffalo. So, Buffalo being a 2.5-point favorite, and again, you should shop. If you like New England, then go for it. I can't fault you for that. But make sure you get the 3 points, plus 3. Lose by a field goal and tie. If you're taking Buffalo, you better get the minus 2.5. So that if you win by a field goal, you win rather than lose, rather than tie. So, that being said, I'm taking Buffalo minus 2.5, and I'm taking the game over 41. I'm taking those, I'm going to do them slightly less than a full unit. I'm doing a 3/4 unit each, and that's almost a mental ploy to make sure I'm keeping analysis in check with the eyeball. The eyeball says, well, how do you go against the Patriots? The analysis says, how do you not go with Buffalo when they have the ratings, their offense and defensive ratings, and the fact that the home team, I'm sorry, it's a Buffalo game. But again, not even a full unit. So this is barely more than I would bet on, say, Joe Smith to have over 18 and a half rushing yards. Okay, so this is not a big, huge play. And I'm getting, you know, put your ear to the ground and listen, and you hear people that are putting their, this is a exaggeration, but putting their house up on the Patriots. Oh my God, please don't. And yeah, hey, if the Patriots come out here and win by 20 points and just show that they're back, it's now Mac Jones' team and 20 more years of dominance until Bill Belichick is rolled out there in a wheelchair. Hey, more power to the Patriots for that. I just don't think it's today. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm not putting two units. I'm not even putting one unit on this game. But I do believe it's the over, and I do believe it's the Buffalo Bills. Additionally, though, I'm taking one unit on the same game parlay, which has been very successful for the season. As I mentioned once or twice before, it's funny that same game parlays, correlated parlays is what they would be called, were outlawed for years. Now, this would be mostly overseas, but Vegas as well. They didn't want you because that would give you an edge. If you felt you had an edge in a game, they didn't want to get hit twice on it. So in these same game parlays, the books are ever actually promoting them. And most of the reason for that is because they're still profitable for the books because people misuse them. They don't always use them right. So that being said, what I'm doing in this is I'm teasing the numbers. I'm going to take Buffalo plus 4.5 and over 33.5. So I'm gaining an entire touchdown and the hook over 33.5. That's a key number. 34 becomes sketchy, and 34.5 is a no-go for me on this teaser. And I'm taking Buffalo plus 4.5 because I really believe that the highest amount that Buffalo loses this game by would be 4, which is a differential between a touchdown and field goal. You know, let's say it's a 24-20 Patriots, which, by the way, is what I have as my worst case scenario. I don't believe it's a 2 or 3 touchdown win by the Patriots, as nor does Vegas or anyone else that I'm aware of, but hey, it could happen. Patriots are that hot right now. I'm not discounting the Patriots being a solid, a very good team, very well coached. Mac Jones coming out of nowhere as a rookie and probably steamrolling to offensive rookie of the year. All that being said, cut to the chase. Buffalo on a same game parlay teaser for a full unit. Buffalo plus 4.5 and over 33.5. Gives you I don't like crossing zero. That's against some of the rules on the standard scientific Wong teaser. But now you can lose by a field goal or the touchdown field goal differential. And the juice in this is only minus 115. So just a shade more than a standard bet. I like it a lot. I like it more than the other bets. That's why it's a full unit. So I have two and a half units on this game. And if the Patriots blow out the Bills and it's a high-scoring game, then I just lost all three of those. But you know what? It's 2.5 units. I'm not doing this garbage that the phone scamsters call you up and they want you to put 20% of your bankroll on one pick because it's a can't-miss game. And then if they win, they're calling you back to talk about how good they are. And if they lose, you'll never hear from them again. Sorry, no thanks. 2.5 units total on this game. And it's three different bets, and I could lose the Buffalo game, but get the over. I could get the over, or I could lose the over and you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? I could get the over, but not Buffalo. I could get Buffalo, but not the over. It is what it is. And the numbers are teased great. Over 33.5. Could it go under there? 20-16? That's over, you know? How do you get under that? I mean, it's 21-10, you know, something like that. I'm having a hard time believing it doesn't get over 33.5, even on a windy day. And I believe that the lower that score is, the closer the game is. Therefore, the 4.5 makes sense. So I like that bet a lot. But it's only one unit. It's not 5 units or 5% or 20% of the play. So skip all that garbage. Now, yesterday we didn't have any NBA. I didn't like any. I have 4 that I like today. Philadelphia 76ers. Charlotte's missing a lot of people right now. So Philadelphia minus 6.5, I think, is a very solid play. Again, just one unit. All these four are one unit. Now we'll go over to Cleveland and Milwaukee. Cleveland's been underrated all year long. Well, you know, the first couple of weeks, you could say it's a mystery, but it's no longer. The first couple of weeks, we're a quarter of the way into the season. So these are valid numbers now. So Cleveland plus 6.5 points. I like it a lot. They might win the game, but I'm taking the 6.5 points, thinking they'll lose by a point or two. I'm also going under 214.5. That's not widely available. Most of it's 213.5, which is still safe because I have the game at 205 points total. And again, Cleveland just losing by a couple points in my analysis. Finally, the Los Angeles Clippers visiting Portland. I'm taking the Clippers -3. I've got them as a 5 to 8 point favorite. So I'll take the Clippers -3. That's it for NBA. Then we go to college basketball. There's three games. Only one of them has marquee value. That's a Big Ten matchup between Illinois and Iowa. Taking Iowa -2.5. Last time I bet on Iowa was the sure thing over. Again, it wasn't a sure thing, and I only had one unit on it. I did comment that it was a strong play and that it'd be hard to not go over the 160. Well, one factor to change that was that Keegan Murray, the best player on the team, was held out. That was not widely available knowledge that he was even injured. At least I didn't see it, and I do check for those matters. He's playing today. He's likely. It's not long. He's upgraded from questionable to likely. So I'm going to take Iowa -2.5. It's not a total play. It's a side play. Iowa to win by 3 or more. So Iowa -2.5 over Illinois. It's a close game. I don't have this as a blowout by any means. I just don't think that Illinois is going to upset Iowa in Iowa City this time. Illinois did come in with high hopes for the season. They're a talented team. But again, in the Big Ten, home and away does matter, especially more so now with a little less COVID restrictions. Okay, so moving on to the next game, we're going to take Kent State and Towson to go over 131 points. Over 131. I've got it more like 141, so I like the cushion there. It seems like I might be on the less than 50% bar on the other side of the equator as far as pro picks on this. There's more on the underside, but I like it over by 10 points, and that's enough for me. If I get a 10-point cushion on a total, I'm going to snatch it. And then finally, Citadel and North Carolina Central. I like Citadel to win by 8.5, so 9 or more. Citadel -8.5. Moving over to hockey, I've got 6 plays. Now, again, hockey, well, it was a slight loss because it was 2-2, but we paid juice on one, -130. So little juice lost there. But, again, not bad. And the run in hockey has been pretty significant. So we start with Anaheim and Washington. Now, the totals here are going to be, I have 4 totals and 2 sides, and 3 of the totals are going to be a little on the juicy side, but I think the numbers bear it out. So, Anaheim Ducks visiting Washington. I'm going to take over 5.5 in this game. Washington's been scoring at will, and Anaheim's been still playing well. I don't think that trend ends on both accounts at the same time, so I'm going over 5.5. Additionally, though, although, again, Anaheim's playing well, but they are on the road, Washington's playing better, and they are the better team. Not just momentum, but they're the better team offensively and defensively. I'm going to take them on the 60-minute line at -125. I don't like the game enough to take it on the puck line, win by 2, although that's not a bad play at all to get positive juice, and it might end up that way, especially with the junk goal, empty net at the end possibility. But I'm not paying the -200 or so for the full game money line, because neither one of these teams have played a ton of overtime games. I'm going to bet on that continuing. And with a small chance on any given day on the ice, the Ducks could pull off a win here. I'm not going to risk that. So I'm just going to take Washington to win by any amount in regulation, no overtime, -125. Next, I'm going to go to Colorado and Philly. Now, the Philly just fired their coach this morning. So that's fresh and hot off the presses. Typically, you want to stay off a side there, because I was going to take Colorado. Colorado is a great team, embarrassed by Ottawa. They're going to come back on all cylinders. Philly's been playing terrible. They can't score at all. Any prop bets on their players has to be only on shots on goal, because they do get a lot of shots off. They're not quality shots. There's something wrong, and they just address that with the coach. So, yet the numbers tell me to take Colorado. I can't, because these teams, and again, these are pro players, so they shouldn't need a lot of motivation, but yet, no matter what level you're at, whether you're a junior league of something or the highest league of something, motivation still counts. You still play to the level of your competition, and a little extra motivation. Their coach was fired in the middle of morning work. So they just got a fire lit under their rears, because once you fire the coach, if that doesn't work, I mean, you can fire the general manager, but that guy is the one who's really just determining what players are on that team with input from the coach to different levels between the GM and the coach. So what happens next? These guys need to win. So if they're overpaying players who aren't performing, and they now have a new coach and they're still not performing, well, guess who leaves next? So they have a wake-up call. So I'm not going to bet on Colorado, but I'm definitely betting on the over. It's going to be minus 130 to get over 6. The over 6.5 is the current line, and I wouldn't be afraid too much of 6.5. But just in case, I'm going to bet for the push at six and pay the minus 130 to do it. Now, again, Colorado should have no problem scoring. And by the way, their backup goalie is in for Colorado, so that gives Philadelphia a little bit chance, better chance to score, a little bit better chance for all those shots on goal to maybe make it in. And lastly, if you're motivated now, I think that's going to be, yeah, you'll probably try to play some more defense, but really you're going to try to perform as a player. You're going to try to score some points, get an assist, get a goal. So moving on. So over on Colorado and Philly. Ottawa and New Jersey, I'm not going to talk too much on, but over 6. This is also widely available, 6.5. I'm a little more nervous about the 6.5 there than in the previous game, but I still like over 6, and it's only minus 120 in this case. I'm definitely taking the over 6, and I'm not going to think twice about it. And I do believe there'll be some scoring here. Next, we have Dallas and Arizona. Don't have to think too much about this. Now, Dallas is an enormous favorite, over minus 300, and there's no viable reason. Well, okay. There is viable reasons to take any number, no matter how high, if mathematically it has positive value. I do believe mathematically Dallas has positive value to play the full game money line, but a much better positive value is Dallas to win by 2 at minus 125. Because there's a much greater likelihood that Dallas wins this game by 2 or more. And bottom line is, you still could lose that minus 300 game, and I'm just not going to risk that. So, anyway, Dallas -1.5. I don't know if that made sense to you. I do this on the fly. I don't write notes. I don't have time every day to write notes for a show. It's just you get it off the cuff. Paying minus 300 for a game, and again, I'm going off kilter here on addressing this. I think most people realize it's risky. But it's not necessarily wrong if you have positive value. And I think the value in this game is probably more in the lines of 350 or so. But that doesn't give me much edge. So I'm certainly not going to play that. But I believe Dallas winning by 2 has a likelihood of happening here in, let's say, 2 out of 3 times. And 2 out of 3 times, Dallas winning by 2 or more should fairly be priced at minus 200. And it's priced at minus 125. I mean, sometimes you might get 130, 135, but look for your best line. I'm taking 125. That's the best I see. And that's good positive value. And I think that's there's a 2/3 chance of winning this game is my analysis of it. Finally, the Kings at the Canucks. Los Angeles Kings, Vancouver Canucks, going under 5.5. It's juiced on the low side. It's minus 105, so it's juiced to go slightly over that. I don't believe that'll be the case. The Kings did well last night. They beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-1, lost that game, as I mentioned earlier. That was a little bit of an aberration. So it's a 2-1 game, tight the whole way. You know, Kings jump up, Oilers tie it, Kings go back up 2-1, stays that way till near the end, and we get a huge power play base. At that point, for the rest of the game, once the power play came on, it was really for the rest of the game. There was no chance really for Edmonton to get back in once that power play was enacted, the penalty. And the Kings got 3 power play goals. And again, at that point, anybody that would be in that game knew that the length of the power play, the penalty, was going to preclude any chance for Edmonton to come back into this game. You're at the penalty kill for almost the rest of the game. I think it might have been a minute left they would have had, but that became a moot point because the Kings just scored 3 in rapid succession. So the game ended 5-1, and that was with the 3 bonus goals, and that's a game with Edmonton being the highest and most powerful offense in the league, and it still ended up only 6 with the bonus points. So I don't know that Edmonton's defense is any worse than Vancouver's. Actually, I suppose Vancouver's is, let's just say they're fairly even, but I would give the edge to Vancouver. So you're coming in a better defense, and you're not going to have that luxury of that kind of a power play situation again, I don't think. So the Kings are having a harder time scoring, and it's back-to-back game for them. Again, harder time to score. Vancouver is slightly more rested than their opponent, and they're not anywhere near as offensively skilled as Edmonton. Therefore, under 5.5 seems like an easy play to me. So that's it. Again, there's prop bets, but I don't know how to discuss that yet because I don't usually offer all the ones I'm looking for until it's too late. But I can tell you, it doesn't hurt to go with Ovechkin today in a game that's considered to be high scoring for Washington. And then I wouldn't necessarily go with Philadelphia players, but Philadelphia shots on goal sounds very good. Colorado players, points, goals, assists are in play. Again, I haven't looked yet specifically. New Jersey, Dougie Williams would be the only bet I'm looking for. There's a couple in Ottawa. Batherson maybe looks good. Let's see. Yeah, that's really all I have that jumps out at me without getting into the deeper dive. So good luck.